a little Western good morning music.
Favorite kind.
I think me and Jennifer own the two loneliest horses on the planet.
Those poor guys. They're ready for cool weather and long rides.
Oh, they are. Good morning, y'all. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. An Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. Here's my favorite part.
Job, honey, you're getting better at that.
Well, I'm far enough away from my. Go ahead, say it.
You know how tempting it is for me to just cut the music.
You wouldn't do that, would you? You
it's so tempting.
No, you can't do that to our listeners. Not this early in the morning. That'd be rough. That'd be really rough. Folks, you're tuned in to Rosie on the House, and we're here with our normal staff of suspects. My darling wife, sweet Jennifer. Good morning, babe.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. I like that little bit of humidity in the air.
You do, huh?
I do.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
After a week in Chicago.
Didn't get to see much of it, but it was lovely. A little bit overcast and cooler, much cooler than here.
Yeah.
Very humid.
Well, we'll be talking about your trip and what you were up there getting certified and educated all over and about in the 9 o'clock hour.
Sure.
Okay. We've got special guests here in the 7 o'clock hour. Romy, what you got coming up in the 8 o'clock hour? My son and co-host Romy Romero.
Urban farmer Greg Peterson will be in today talking about composting.
Man, I meant to bring a bag. I wanted to show off a bag of my compost. I make the best compost on the planet. It just doesn't grow anything.
You have to put seeds in it first, honey. Till it in. Put the seeds in, water.
Oh.
You got step one down, though, sounds
like.
Oh,
I do, baby. All right. I do. I'll put my compost up against anybody.
You got to donate it to your son's farm.
I should donate it to you. So Greg will be in. That's great. 9 o'clock hour will be our open line where any project you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin, give us a ring. It's a toll-free number. My wife, Jennifer, pays for the phone call. Don't you love that? It's 1-888-767-4348. And we'll get your call. We've built and remodeled homes and small commercial projects all across the state of Arizona. So wherever you are, you can hear our voice. Call that toll-free number, and let's talk about what you're trying to get done, and we'll put our experience to work for you. We have our broadcast engineer, the South Dakota Jackrabbit, Michael Reisch, in the broadcast studio, making sure all the beams are pointed in the right direction and all the buttons and dials. It's like driving a spaceship. He's in there. They don't let me in there. They don't let me touch those buttons. And this morning, we've got a very special guest, Dr. Tricia Loescher, the chief curator for the Scottsdale Museum of the West. Dr. Trish, thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you very much, Rosie. It's wonderful to be here.
Your facility, now we're kind of, Jennifer and I are kind of museum rats, but we're also museum snobs. The Museum of the West that the city of Scottsdale has built really is the cream de la cream.
Thank you.
Have done an unbelievable job on the building. Can we talk about the birth of the museum? Just a little bit of the history?
Oh, yes.
You've been there from the very beginning, right?
Well, I have from right before we started to break ground in 2014.
They stole you from the Heard Museum?
They stole me from Tucson.
Oh,
I was down finishing my degree at the U of A.
Okay.
And that was a great time, you know, great timing. So I came back up from Tucson. And with Mike Fox and our director and CEO of the museum. And the museum's really quite remarkable in the fact that it goes back, the vision of it goes back more than 30 years with Mayor Herb Drinkwater and Mike Fox going out to the what then was the northern outskirts of Scottsdale, you know, and that would have been Shea and Scottsdale Road.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for a site for this wonderful museum dedicated to the American West. So the vision has been there for 30 years and more. And it's just, you know, a wonderful way in which the people of Scottsdale, all of these years, you know, various parties have supported it. And seeing this, you know, come to fruition finally in 2014.
That's fantastic. Herb Drinkwater. I used to call him the governor. We lived fairly close to each other, and he was usually going in about the time I was pulling out. and he drove that Suburban with all the antennas on it and stuff. And my truck was pretty recognizable. We knew each other. So as we saw each other always going up and down Hayden or Scott Silver, we blink our lights at each other. I always called him the governor, just in anticipation of where he was going to go. He actually saved me from getting expelled from fourth grade. I attended Kokopai Elementary, and at lunch, me and one of the other guys on the track would jump the chain link fence, run to what was then an A&W at Scottsdale and Shea, eat an A&W sandwich, and then run back before lunch was over. And then the principal, Dr. Roth, started catching on, and he'd get in his car and he'd start circling that neighborhood. And so we saw his car, and the closest store was Drinkwaters. We ran into Drinkwaters. Dr. Roth saw us, walked into Drinkwaters. Herb put us in the walk-in cooler and said, "I'll get rid of him. Don't worry." And you could hear him talking out there. "You see two kids?" "No, I didn't see any two kids." "Well, if you see them, make sure they get back to campus, you know, before class starts." And so there was a note waiting for me on my desk when I got back. Don't ever do that again. So Herb and I, way, way back. He was great for the city. Scottsdale and Mike Fox put their heads together, birthed this idea for a Museum of the West, which only deserves to be built in the West's most western town, right?
Right, absolutely.
It ended up being quite a bit south of Shea as well. It's right kind of the downtown, old town Scottsdale.
It's right near all the galleries. It's in between Goldwater and Scottsdale Road, south of Maine. So it's in walk distance.
Everything.
The galleries, the rest.
When the art walks start, y'all open late because you're right there in the loop. It's perfect.
It's perfect. November through April, we're open until 9 p.m. every Thursday night for the art walk, and we have a lot of special programming as well those evenings. So it's a remarkable location.
Well, before we get into all the exhibits you've got in the building, can we talk? The building is spectacular.
It really it is, and it has won already four awards for its LEED Gold standard, its architecture, its interior, its exhibitry, so its landscapes. It has four awards to date, just for architecture alone, and it's a 43,000 square foot building. And as I've mentioned before, it rose the reclamation of the cement, the wood, everything that you see throughout the building for the LEED Gold standard really speaks to what we're doing in terms of our mission with recycling and the importance of conservation of water and resources of the American West.
Romy, the exterior walls are poured concrete. And they used a rough sawn form to allow the grain and the knots to all
kind of like the piers on Rennie's house for the deck.
Exactly, kind of like the back patio deck you poured at your house. So you can see all of that grain in there. But they left the boards apart by about, I want to say, 3/4 to an inch. So it's like weeping mortar. Uh-huh. The concrete kind of came through it. Vertically, so it's to imitate the ribs of a saguaro cactus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is some incredible craftsmanship.
And it also functions. It mimics the botany of a cactus in that it will keep certain parts of the building shaded, as like the ribs of a saguaro would do. So it also helps with our energy use.
And for anybody listening, backing up just a second, the LEED Gold standard is hard to get. LEED is the leader in energy. Our leader in energy and environmental design. Is that?
That's correct.
Russ getting the cobwebs off my memory here. But and there's different. There's a silver standard. There's a gold standard.
Platinum. Mm-hmm.
And a platinum. I'm getting those. I don't know that the technology is quite to the spot where you ever get a return on investment for putting everything into it required for that. It's just a statement and a commitment to that kind of design and build. And I mean, that takes somebody with a vision to really get to that level.
They take the condensation from all the air conditioners and they weep it down this copper imitated wall, the weeping wall. Then that condensation feeds the landscaping inside the courtyard.
It goes into a bioswale, and it actually goes under the building and out, and it feeds even the perimeter, the Palo Verdes and the mesquite trees.
I have to go see this building. What is
Romy,
it?
Romy's a big fan of concrete art, and he does concrete etching and slabs, and his home is a raw concrete floor, copper leather etched, with the brands of Arizona ranches stamped in the floor.
Very nice. You would love our cement floor that we have.
And that's where I was going. Tell them about it. Describe it to him.
We have a collection of spurs and bits and saddles and that kind of tooling, especially on the leather work. We took that and mimicked it on the cement of the grounds outside in the sculpture garden and the exterior of the building, and also on some metal work. So you can see those patterns that would have been tooled on leather and those kinds of items on the floor.
I'd like to grind down a list of the craftsmen that built this and just start interviewing them sporadically throughout the year on the program.
The acid-etched concrete is absolutely spectacular with all the scroll work and kind of follows through the whole pattern.
There are some great photos at ScottsdaleMuseumWest.org. You can kind of get a glance at some of those beautiful art pieces.
Well, we're talking about the building with Dr. Trish Loescher, the chief curator for Scottsdale Museum of the West. But after this break, we're going to go through the front door and start talking about what you're going to see as you enter the environment of the Scottsdale Museum of the West. It's spectacular.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson wheat. Back in the saddle again, riding the range.
Nice, Mike.
Do you play that song at the museum?
Sometimes.
Dr. Trish Loescher, the chief curator from the Scottsdale Museum of the West. We're here now. We've been talking about the actual building, which is spectacular. It's an award-winning LEED Gold Award winner. Absolutely architecturally an incredible building. All the thought that went into it, the products and the materials that they used. Now we're about ready to take you with the chief curator right through the front door. Now, the first time I went through the front door, I almost got run over by people leaving. Jennifer, you want to tell them that story?
Well, we were there for the Women in Agriculture Conference, and I read the agenda wrong. And so we were supposed to be there at 5. We got there at 6:30, and everybody was leaving. So Rosie almost didn't forgive me until I told him, Trish. I already reached out a month before, and I had you scheduled for the show. And then you got to go down for your own private tour. So it got even better, didn't
it? It was spectacular. It really was. So we walk in the front door.
We walk in.
Take us through there.
You enter into our Charo's Gateway, our admissions area, which is sponsored by the Charo's. We have a wonderful kiosk there that tells the history of that organization, which also has been so vital to Scottsdale. And then you see a beautiful screen of different imagery of the West, including landscapes and Native American objects, basketry, you know, beautiful images to start to set the tone of the American West. And we are a museum that's dedicated to the 19 Western states west of the Mississippi, as well as parts of Canada and Mexico, regions of Mexico as well. That includes Hawaii. So in our mission, you know, from the minute you step foot through our front door, what you can see is just, you know, such a diversity of material that spans both the past, the historic past, into the present and into the future. And how we've positioned ourselves is to not only be great, you know, have great art and objects, you know, paintings, bronzes, and cowboy gear, but also to tell stories. So we really see ourselves in all that we do as storytellers of the American West. So the minute you come into the front door, you know, we really start to immerse you in that feeling of, you know, what is your story? Because we have all come here, you know, and from different places or have been born here, you know, various migrations throughout the centuries have created the great American West, and we all have a diversity of stories to tell. And that's what we set off to do.
I know you love the stories because Rosie came home and said, I cannot believe all the history, all the back history that Trish knew about all the
artifacts, every piece.
And it just blew him away.
It's just like this rolling Rolodex. It's just absolutely incredible. And you're talking about the storytelling. And y'all do quite, you've gone out of your way to make it a little interactive for the kids.
Yes, we have. We have. And one of the first things that you'll see as you come through the door and you begin to move through the galleries is a Maynard Dixon mural, a huge Maynard Dixon mural, a very important artist of the American West. It was painted in 1935, and it really sets the tone of Kit Carson in the American West. And one thing that we always talk about is the contested histories of the American West and the diversities and the multiple stories. So, you know, it's very much you have to tell all of the kinds of the ways that people have interpreted the West and what that's meant to them. And we do that with the art and then with the storytelling for the kids. We take them on the tours throughout the exhibitions, and we bring to life, you know, these critical perspectives that help to relate these messages. You can also see when you first come in and you start to move more into the museum, we have a wonderful theater, and we have a 10-minute film called Spirit Is. And it's for all ages, children, you know, to adults. And it was created by an award-winning producer, Reese Candy. And it's not necessarily, you know, an orientation to the museum, but rather a broad kind of overview of the history of the American West, beginning with the Spanish who came, Native American people, the diverse cultures that have been here, and the migrations all the way to the present day. Again, relating that back to every age, you know, find your story in the American West. What is your story?
And y'all reach out to schools across the valley.
We do. We have a very active school program. We offer Title I grants for Title I schools to visit with us. And we have, you know, our curriculum is our exhibits are really oriented toward the state standards in the curriculum. So, for example, in our wonderful Abe Hayes Spirit of the West Gallery, mathematics skills can be used, you know, to order a saddle or a spur out of an old porter's catalog. Just really fun things that integrate the American West objects, artifacts, and stories with the standards of the school systems.
A storytelling museum. A museum of all the West, a museum that connects the Old West with the New West. If you haven't been there, you've got to get this on your bucket list. It's the Scottsdale Museum of the West. You can look it up. I imagine the website is
ScottsdaleMuseumWest.org.
There you go. And it'll show you some of the beautiful architectural features we've been talking about here earlier. We're here visiting with the chief curator, Dr. Tricia Loescher, and we've just walked you into the front lounge, and it's the Charros Lounge. Scottsdale
yes.
Charros are a community service group that's been around for about 50 or 60 years. They've been here every bit as long as they were here when we got here in the 60s, and they have this scrolling screen of past Charros, and it just brings back to memory people you knew for so long. It's just familiar faces, and could name some of the horses, and it was just awesome. So we've just taken you through the lounge, and we've taken you in the theater, and we're going to come back and start taking you through the rest of the exhibit that they've got all on display right now at Scottsdale Museum of the West. And the other thing I want to talk about is what y'all were showing at the grand opening, because that was an incredible exhibit as well.
Yes, it was.
With Dr. Tricia Loescher here at Rosie on the House.
Go get me some butter milk.
Hey, little Joe, go get me some buttermilk. Good morning. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, and we've almost got every button working now here this morning. We are celebrating, or will be celebrating soon, our 30th anniversary of being on air, a Saturday morning tradition for you, the Arizona homeowners. And so the studio is set up with a lot of extra equipment today because we're kind of recording a fun little documentary on the 30 years. We're going to review some of the more hilarious moments of the broadcast, and you're gonna got somebody come in to film document that. That'll be fun. Be a lot of fun.
It will.
So, all right. So we're with Dr. Tricia Loescher, chief curator at Scottsdale Museum of the West. We talked about the building. We talked about walking into the Charo's lobby, the reception area that greets you. But I want to talk just 1 minute, Dr. Trish, about the collection y'all had when you opened just a couple years ago.
It was a fantastic opening. We had one of the main collections we had, exhibitions at that time, was a show on Lewis and Clark. And it was the paintings by Charlie Fritz, an artist from Montana, who actually took the journals of Lewis and Clark, and he traveled for 10 years. This is during the 1990s. And he went on the exact trip that Lewis and Clark took, and with the journals on the very day of, looking at the sites that they were at. And he set up his easel and he painted these scenes. And so this exhibition chronicled the trip with 100 paintings and at the exact locations, the same time of year. So Charlie was experiencing the same weather elements and that whole seasonal change. And he did this for 10 years. He did the trip twice, I believe, at least. And he also, made sure that everything was very authentic in terms of the uniforms that they wore, the types of boats or canoes that they had with them, And so really this collection was formed with Charlie Fritz and Tim Peterson, our collector and one of our trustees at the museum. And with this collaboration, they really set out to document the exploration of Lewis and Clark, which did not at that time in the early 1800s have an artist on that exploration.
I don't imagine an artist was on the checklist when packing supplies.
Nope, not that time. So what they did was really, remarkable, 100 plus years later and looking back and actually making a journal of this, a visual journal.
That's a labor of love.
It is.
Is that a traveling exhibit now? It's somewhere else in the United States?
It will be traveling. Okay. It will be traveling. And we right now, we've just recently, we have a new exhibition that we've opened, which is the Renard Strickland poster collection.
Which is where we're going to go. We've left the Charo's Lounge. We've come around the entry to the theater. We're passing the elevators. And before we get into the poster display, talk about the immigration map you have up on the wall.
Yes, we have a wonderful migration map that shows various kinds of migrations into the American West, beginning, of course, with Lewis and Clark. And there are 10 different migrations, the Santa Fe Trail, different westward expansion movements beginning with Lewis and Clark all the way up to about 1966 with President Eisenhower's intertranscontinental, road system that he developed. So it's a really wonderful way to look at all of the aspects of how people have come into and out of the American West. One of the things, again, that we really strive to do at the museum is talk about transformation and diversity, and that goes even into our exhibition design and development, like with this migrations mural. It's a projection on the wall onto a map of the United States and Mexico and parts of Hawaii. So you can see, and it has little fun facts and kind of interactive ideas and suggestions about these various explorations for, children to partake of and read about. So it allows us the flexibility to change these different migrations, because as Rosie and I have talked about, you know, there were people coming up from Mexico and you know, and still today all of the different migrations that are taking place. So we will continue to update and change this as we look to our museum to be able to transform and readily adapt different spaces, whether it's through our movable walls that are on wheels, so we can reconfigure our exhibitions depending on the space we need and the type of art that we have, as well as our 20-foot high ceilings, which allows us the flexibility to display these, like, for example, Renard Strickland's wonderful Western film
and that's
poster
where,
collection.
And that's where we are. We've passed the immigration, the migration route map, and we've entered what is now a movie poster collection. Jennifer, you will have to take your dad.
Is there lots of John Wayne in there?
You will have to take, but you're going to take him by yourself, and you better bring a sack lunch, because it will take your dad a day and a half just to get through, because he knows every Western movie that was ever on, name the actors and the actresses, and wants to tell you the plot. So it'll take him at least a day and a half to get through the movie poster exhibit that they've got right now.
Sounds like a date day with Dad.
Yeah, it's a date day with Dad. But this is a collection of all one man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Renard Strickland, Dr. Renard Strickland from Oklahoma. And Renard is, you know, really remarkable in many fields. He is an attorney. He's taught law at the University of Oklahoma and other universities for many years. And he's had major collections of American Indian art. And this poster collection, which he started forming more than 40 years ago. And again, this is a collection that we really wanted to bring to the museum. And people, visionaries such as Jim Bruner and Mike Fox, you know, involved with the museum, before we even opened, knew of this collection and had hoped that it would someday be part of our museum. And it recently was gifted to us. It's a joint ownership between us and Arizona State University's Foundation for New American University. So in that collaborative sense, too, it just opens the door to scholars and faculty members, students at the universities and beyond. You know, this collection numbers more than 5,500 Western movie posters and lobby cards. And Renard will also be gifting us his library of Western film books as well. And his perspective on these posters and why he began collecting was due to being asked many years ago by PBS to begin producing a documentary about westward expansion and the American experience. So he started looking at the visual formats of stories, what had happened, legends, myths, realities of the American West, stereotypes, and he realized some of the only surviving documents are these Western movie posters of these movies that were produced based upon these stories and myths of the West. So it's really a remarkable collection.
A very fun, great documentary would be that narrator from Turner Classic Movies, you know, and as the movie goes to commercial breaks and stuff, he comes back and gives you a little more backstory of the movie. I mean, him narrating in front of all these posters and giving you just some of the climactic points of each movie, that would make a great documentary.
It would be fabulous.
I wonder, do we know anybody at Turner Broadcasting? Turner Broadcasting?
You know somebody everywhere. I'm sure you'll figure it out.
We may have. And listeners, I'm going to throw it out there to you. Do you know that narrator? Do you know anyone at Turner Networks? That would make a great show.
It would be fantastic. And so many of these films are seen on Turner. So it's just a perfect match.
Okay. Now, we're going to have to speed through the rest of the museum. We're leaving the movie poster, and we're getting into the Abe Hayes family,
okay,
Working West.
Right before we leave, though, I do want to mention in posters, we have a wonderful interactive for children where you can come in and design your own lobby card. It's really not just for children. Adults do it, too. And then you can post it on our magnet board, or you can take it with you. So it's another way that we're integrating stories and making art for the visitors, as well as we have kiosks with Renard himself talking about, you know, his favorite film. So it puts the collector's perspective in there and really gets that information out to the public.
The Shooting of Liberty Valance.
The Shooting of Liberty Valance.
That's his all-time favorite Western movie.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we get into the working cowboy collection.
We do.
Another private collection.
And that is the Abe Hayes Spirit of the West collection. Abe was very instrumental early on in helping us to get the museum established. And he donated last year his collection of more than 1,200 Western objects that include everything from working cowboy gear, such as shaps and spurs and bridles and bits, to Hollywood memorabilia, objects that relate to Buffalo Bill and telling that story. Women's artifacts, spurs, and things that belong to very famous women, cowgirls, and also saloon objects, prison gear, yes, things that were made by prisoners. And Abe has just done, in over 40 years, you know, he's amassed a one-of-a-kind collection, much like Renard's. These are both, you know, very unique. You won't see anything like them in all the world.
When you said prison collection, my mind went right to the balls and chains and the handcuffs and all of that. But then you mentioned the prison artistry, and there's another whole display case of hand woven lanyards, ropes, belts, hat bands,
quirts.
I mean, it is incredible artistry, and it's all done by inmates.
It is. They were Montana State Prison and other prisons, Yuma Territorial Prison. And they had a remarkable program, especially with braiding and weaving horsehair, such as the beautiful bridles that you see.
Oh,
and
it's incredible. It's
incredible. And some of them are Hallmark. They're stamped, like the silver work with the prisoner's number. So A, being the researcher that he is, was able to track down who the prisoners were that made these, you know, amazingly engraved bits and spurs.
As you leave that working cowboy exhibit, you pass a beautiful protected display of pottery.
Yes, you do. It's the Hopi collection. Dr. Alan Cook and his late wife Judith donated to our museum. Again, another collection that is actually one of our own now that we have to share with the Hopi community as well. And the state of Arizona, it's really a national treasure. It has more than 18 Nampeo pots. And it has very early Palaka polychromes and Sityaki polychromes.
It's incredible. And as you leave, kind of finishing the clockwise tour of the ground floor, as you're leaving and coming back towards the lobby, I don't know if I'm going to be able to adequately describe this, but there is a painting by Doug Roos that is on a backdrop. And it's a scene that then folds out onto the floor, and the horse is on the backdrop, but he's drinking from a little water cistern, and his head and his neck are on the floor. And as you stand there and take a selfie, you can reach up and put your hand on the pommel of the horse, and it looks like you're standing next to a horse. Incredibly creative. Doug Roos was the artist. And when we come back, Dr. Trish Loescher, Chief Curator of the Scottsdale Museum of the West, you'll have exactly 2 minutes to take us through the entire upstairs.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back. Whoa, Nelly. Whoa, Nelly. Here we are with Dr. Trish Loescher, the Chief Curator of Scottsdale Museum of the West. We've talked about the building. We've talked about the Charo's reception area. We've talked about the movie poster collection exhibit. We went through the entire working cowboy exhibit. We talked about the Doug Roos artwork that's really fun to take a picture of, kind of like a selfie spot. What we didn't talk about on the ground floor was have a great collection right now of Grand Canyon art, a whole section of just Grand Canyon exhibit, and then we've got the John Coleman bronze thing.
Exhibition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. statues.
Statues, sculptures.
Sculptures.
Sounds like charades in here this morning.
There
sounds
it was.
Like, looks like.
There it is. Okay, so we've talked through all of that. Let's get upstairs and talk them through the collection we've got upstairs.
We have a fantastic two galleries upstairs, and the first one that really encompasses contemporary art. It's Confluence of Cultures. It's been laid out in seven different vignettes, so to speak, and it's mostly living contemporary artists, including some of the cowboy artists of America. And it talks about, you know, how cultures have come together, whether it's through trade or military battles, things of that, you know, that pertain specifically to stories of the American West. And it's paintings and bronzes. And this collection is owned by one of our collectors, Tim Peterson. In some cases, these works have been specifically commissioned between Tim and the artist. So again, we work a lot, you know, with collectors and artists in bringing these museum exhibitions to the public. When you move through that exhibition, you cross what we called the bridge, and you see a number of wonderful paintings by Michael Coleman that show various landscapes in national parks. And again, these were commissioned paintings that have explorers, you know, depicted, say, in Yosemite, and those are in this bridge as you cross over, and you can see Camelback Mountain. You can look down into our Ted and Christine Mollring Sculpture Garden, where we have amazing Doug Hyde sculptures, Alan Hauser, Bob Houses, Bruce Green. Again, it just, you know, wonderful Cynthia Rigdon. And
there's a 40-foot ponderosa log that had to be close to 4 feet in diameter that's laid down, and they've carved it into a sitting bench.
A sitting bench, sculpted. Yeah. It's beautiful. Some people think it's a bronze because of its sculptural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's gorgeous. So, okay, so we've crossed the bridge, and now we're in the final little exhibit of the museum.
Yes, and this is a wonderful show that is of mostly historic deceased artists, and it includes masterpieces such as Charles Russell and Frederick Remington. Again, working with Tim Peterson, we chose works that show the range of these artists, which, you know, in and of itself is very unique. You don't always see a Frederick Remington watercolor next to one of his oil paintings. So,
One of his pencils.
Exactly.
It's
so
gorgeous.
You can see the diversity and how skilled these artists were working in various mediums. We have a Lewis pipe tomahawk that was part of Lewis from the Lewis and Clark expedition that was passed
down.
The
actual tomahawk pipe is on display.
And it was in Lewis's possession when he passed away. Very, very, you know, one of a kind. A rare piece. We have Native American objects, including chief's blankets that are, you know, four of the most pristine and, you know, for their organic, their vegetal materials and
these,
their weavings.
These are like from the 1860s and 70s, and they are pristine. But you can count the weaves in them. They're absolutely incredible. Well, Dr. Trish, we're going to have you back.
Well, thank you so much.
We had to cover it quick.
I got to know, do y'all ever have a display? You'd mentioned the tomahawk of old weapons, like a Old West gun display.
Oh, that's in our 44s. Yes, that's in our Abe Hayes Spirit of the West collection. You'll have to come see it.
When is that?
Texas holsters. It's on display now.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Dr. Mike Fox, Mike came up with an idea.
Yes, he did.
What was that, real quick?
Well, Mike would love, since we're all about transformation and creativity and doing things and remodeling, what we would love to offer is if you out there, all of you listeners today, would like to take a photo of some kind of home improvement or change that you're making that you know really means a lot to you and you'd like to share, please take a picture of that and bring it in with you. At the admissions to our museum and through the month of August, we will give you a free admission to the museum.
Free admission.
Yeehaw.
With your home improvement picture at the Scottsdale Museum of the West. Dr. Loescher, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You'll be back.
Thank you.
You know, I think that museum is worthy of a staycation. You know,
absolutely.
One of our listeners from across the state might want to pick up a Sanderson Ford, come on over to Scottsdale, stay in a nice place nearby and spend the whole afternoon or day or 2 days at the Scottsdale Museum of the West. We just had a family get back from Lake Havasu, and the man had been before, but his wife and son had never been, and they didn't believe him that the London Bridge was actually there at Lake Havasu. So they were really fascinated with the whole area and just had a really great time.
It does sound like a prank, the London Bridge in Lake Havasu,
yeah,
Arizona.
Like, yeah, like, sure, you're going to get there and it's a model, but real deal. So sign up for a staycation at Arizona at
RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Travel AZ is where I was trying to get.
All right, we're going to be back. Romy, you've got Greg Peterson coming at 8.
I'm looking over my shoulder. He's, yes.
Okay,
Greg,
we'll be talking about composting. 9 o'clock's open hour. 10 o'clock, we've got Blue Sky Pest Control coming in and talking about all the bugs that you're seeing right now. It's the season for bugs. We'll be knocking them out at 10 o'clock.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.